Well, there's been a lovely spirit in our service this morning, and rightly so, because we have so much to praise God for. He has indeed been a faithful God, and it's wonderful that we can acknowledge that in a public way like this on our the day of our annual meeting, as we look back over the past year and rejoice in God's goodness towards us. The verses that I've chosen for our Bible reading this morning, Psalm 107, verses 1 to 9. Psalm 107, 1 to 9. So if you've got your Bibles there, please look them up. Otherwise, they'll be on the screen. Let me read. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. And verse 15, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let's pray. Lord, it is with hearts of thankfulness we come this morning to acknowledge, Lord, that you are indeed a wonderful God, that you have reached out to us in our time of need. You have drawn us to yourself with cords of love. You have showered us, Lord, with your grace. You have led us, Lord, to that place, Lord, where you dwell. And Father, we just thank you for our church and thank you for all the blessings that are ours in Christ. Help us, Lord, to be able to express them, especially on a day like today. Give you, Lord, the praise, the honour that you deserve. Amen. Without the Lord, this church is nothing but another social club. You think about that for a moment. Zach has recently joined an archery club, and they get together, you know, they have working bees. Well, we have them too, don't we? And they get together, usually probably with a pint in hand, and do a little bit of celebrating after a day out doing their target practice. But there is something different between that kind of club and our church. And of course, the difference is that our reason for being is different. We're not purely social, although social is one of the spin-offs that comes from being part of a lively church. But it is the fact that we have Christ at the centre of this church. He is the one who is the head of the church. We are his temple. We are his body. He indwells us by his Spirit. If it wasn't for God living, working, actively present among us, we would be nothing. This is his church, and everything that happens here at City North should be to his praise and to his glory. Do you believe that? I hope so. If we've seen God at work over the course of this year, then why shouldn't we rejoice and give him thanks? In several of the Psalms, we read the words of verse 1 of Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Notice that, forever. As I was thinking about this service this morning, there were four things that came to mind for which I am especially thankful for. I just want to mention them quickly this morning. The first is that over the past 2 years, I suppose, for a variety of different reasons, quite a number of people who have been sort of committed a committed part of the fellowship here, have actually moved away. Some of them have moved away because they have bought homes further out and they've found churches closer to where they live now. Some of them have transferred to the country, and we're going to be losing Bronwyn next year as she heads off to the country, to Charleville, to teach at the School of the Air. And then there are some even who have travelled overseas, and of course it's a bit more difficult for them to get to church. We live in an age where people are very mobile, and we've got to expect that there'll be times when people will come and people will go from our church here. But I guess the thing that that has been particularly noticeable is that some of these people who have moved away over the last couple of years are people who have held key positions in the church, key ministry roles within the church. And what has really encouraged me is the way that God has raised people up to actually fill the gaps that have been left behind by those people who have left. I have to admit that there have been moments when, as the senior pastor of the church, I've been quite anxious about how we're going to be able to continue and to maintain ministries without some of these key people. But God, in his love for us, has had it all under control, and he's brought people along. Some of you people who are sitting here this morning are the ones that he's tapped on the shoulder and he's plugged you into some of these spots within the church ministry team. And it's been very humbling just to see the way that God has repeatedly done that. He's answered our prayers. And I'm very thankful for that. I've been humbled by it as well too. Another is our finances, and Michael's already mentioned them this morning. As you know, that and probably for some of the reasons that I've just mentioned, our finances have been under a fair bit of pressure, particularly in the early part of this year. And because of that, the church treasurer and his team and also the elders have had to take a lot of care in managing the tithes and the offerings that have come in for the support of the ministry here. And yes, it's quite true that there's a few things that we've had to put on hold for the time being. But over the months, we have seen a gradual improving in our financial situation. Again, God has had it under control. And though we end the year with a deficit, we've averted a crisis, and all of our basic needs are being met. All our key ministries are continuing to function well. Our missionaries are being supported. I still have a shirt on my back. I know that we're facing the challenge of December and January, which is normally time when our finances come under a bit of extra pressure. But I believe that God has got it under control, and I'm just thankful for the way that, we've seen God at work in this area of our church life this year. Thirdly, it's been another really fruitful year of ministry. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about the children's ministry or whether we're talking about the friendship club. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about what happens here on Sunday in the services here or out the back with our kids. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about the midweek groups that meet here at the church. And if you were here on a Wednesday and Thursday mornings, you would see this place buzzing with all the action which is taking place here. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about the night meetings as families, people gather together in homes to study the Bible together. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about youth group on Friday night, the young adults who hang out over the weekends and do their things. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about schools ministry and four or five different schools around the local area here. We have about 12 people who faithfully go into our schools week by week on our behalf to teach the scriptures to children. Then, of course, there's our missionaries who are serving on our behalf overseas, our chaplains serving in the local schools. I just praise God that I can be a part of a church that is serious about sending people out to serve in ministry and for all the many things that happen. I think in a church of our size, I think we don't do too badly in terms of the many ministries that God is working through in the church here. In a couple of weeks' time, we're going to have our carols program again, and so many people in our church are going to be involved in making that day happen. And it'll give us an opportunity, once again, to share Christ with our local community. Praise God for it. I think there's a sense of expectancy. God is at work. God is working. And as we saw earlier on, recently we've had more baptisms, and our Explaining Christianity course was a wonderful opportunity to be able to share Christ with many people who are still trying to work out where they stand with Jesus. I want to be part of a church that takes the gospel seriously, don't you? And this year, I believe we've done that. And we're going to continue to do that in 2019. And we should, as we reflect on what's happened over the course of the year, say, thank you, God. You're good. Then there's one more. And that is the love and the unity and the encouragement that I sense within the church family here. Praise God that we are a church. We are a church which is unified. And I believe that our unity comes from the fact that we are one in Christ. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We mustn't take that for granted. We must be thankful to God that there is love in this church, that there is unity in this church. Maybe I could just have one more too, make it five. I'm thankful to God for the leaders that we have in the church here. I have to work closely with the other pastors and the elders of the church here. And I can stand before you today and look you in the eye and say, these are godly men, and we ought to thank God for them. And we have people in key ministry roles who are godly people, who we can trust, and who are providing the kind of leadership and direction that we need in this church. Thank God for them. Well, having said all of that, I just want to say we are far from a perfect church. I know that, you know that. That by God's grace, he has been able to use this imperfect church this year to accomplish his purposes and to glorify himself. And we should say, to him be all the glory. And I hope today, as you're sitting here and thinking about what we have seen and heard this morning, that you are personally thankful to God. Thankful to God for City North, but also thankful to God for all the other things that are going on in your life and in your world at the moment. Thankfulness is an attitude of heart. Thankfulness, it's part of worship. It's part of praise. We thank God, we praise God, we worship God. They're all kind of part of a package deal. When we thank God, we are reminding ourselves of his goodness to us. I mean, his provision for us in many different levels in our lives. When we thank God, we are reminding ourselves that we are absolutely dependent upon him. When we thank God, we are reminding ourselves that we need to keep on trusting him. Our faith gets strengthened through the act of thanking God. It also teaches us to be content, because we know that God is the one who ultimately provides and controls the circumstances of our lives. We have much to be thankful for. In particular, I just want to mention three things that I believe today we should be thanking God for. And I hope that these are true for each of us personally. The first is the gift of our salvation. Sometimes I think we forget, or else we overlook, the greatness of God's saving love for us. If you're a Christian this morning, the Bible assures us that nothing, notice this, in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing in all creation can separate us from his love. How blessed we are to have a God who loves us. In fact, he loved us so much that he sent his only son into the world to die in our place, that we might be saved from our sin and adopted into his family. We are children of the Heavenly Father who loves us dearly. We can call him Abba. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And if you're sitting here this morning and your self-esteem's sagging a bit, can I just say, don't withdraw into your shell. Don't sit there feeling sorry for yourself. Remember who you are in Christ. A child of the Heavenly Father, saved by the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then overflow with thankfulness because of that. What does Psalm 107 say? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. And the foe ultimately that we have been redeemed from, friends, is of sin and Satan and death. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. You know, sharing a testimony is another fresh way of reminding ourselves and also one another of God's love and of his undeserved kindness towards us. It's a way of expressing our thanks to God. God, you are good. And I hope we all have a ready testimony of the grace of God in our lives. Secondly, we need to be thankful for God's generous provisions. If you read Psalm 107 carefully, it presents a picture of people who at one point were desperate and helpless. That's what they were like. But then God reached out to them in love and provided for them in the most amazing way. Look at verse 7. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The Lord satisfies the hungry. The Lord has provided for us all that we need in Christ. We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 1. But as well as that, God has showered us with many other blessings in life, satisfying us and filling us with good things. Stop for a moment. Count your blessings. What have you got to be thankful for today? Your health, your family, maybe your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, your home, your job, all the creature comforts that we sometimes just take for granted. The spiritual gifts that God has given to us. The freedoms that we enjoy living here in a land like Australia. We can go on and on. We can thank God for our church. The opportunity that gives to us to be able to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ week by week and praise God, to grow in our faith, to use the gifts that He's given to us to serve him. We have much to be thankful for. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. We can go on and on. Praise God for his generous provisions for us. And thirdly, and this is one reason for thankfulness I think that sometimes we do overlook, and that is God's perfect control over everything. Yes, of course we should be thankful for God's gift of salvation. We should be thankful for the blessings of life which God provides. We should be thankful for our church. I think we agree that when we reflect on these evidences of God's goodness to us, that we should pause and thank him. But the Bible actually goes further, and it tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's a big call. That means that even when things aren't going so well, even when things may be going badly, we should still be thankful. And the reason why is because even in those circumstances of life, God is still in control. He's in perfect control. When you think about it, God is the one who controls the movement of the galaxies in space. God is the one who controls the weather. God is the one who controls the flu epidemics. God is the one who controls the elections. He controls the outcome of our job interviews. He controls the lives of our children. He's at work using all the circumstances of our lives, both the good and the bad, to shape us and to mould us more and more into the likeness of Christ. That's what God does. There is absolutely nothing that he doesn't have power over. There is nothing that takes him by surprise. And because of that, we ought to be thankful. Our lives are in his hands, our church is in his hands. The whole world is in God's hand. But do we really believe that? Because it changes everything if we believe that God has his hand on the steering wheel of this world and of this church and of our lives. In 1992, Queen Elizabeth had what she called her annus horribilis, her horrible year. And I had a vague memory of this year. I didn't know when it was. I quickly looked it up yesterday. And that was the year when her family was torn apart by separations and divorces and a few other scandals thrown in for good measure. And when she made her public speech and talked about her annus horribilis, there was a huge outpouring of sympathy by the public towards her. They felt sorry for her, and they could perhaps in some cases identify with her. And we have to be honest, there are going to be times in our lives when we go through times of sustained sadness and suffering and disappointment and those sorts of things. They are real. But we should never lose sight of the fact that God is the one who is still, even in those situations of life, in control. He's still holding the steering wheel. And friends, that ought to be so reassuring to us. God is in control. And because of that, it means that we can rejoice in all of our circumstances. We can be thankful in all of our circumstances. We can have God's peace in the midst of our circumstances. This is what Philippians chapter 4 says in verses 4 to 7. And these verses, I know, are well known, and many of you can recite them. But let's, again, just feel the weight of the truth that they contain this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Matthew Henry, the famous English Bible scholar back in the late 1600s, the early 1700s, He was once robbed while he was travelling. I guess he was travelling in a horse and carriage. And his diary entry that evening after he had been robbed reads like this. Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, because though they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Four good reasons to be thankful despite his circumstances. And, you know, we need to learn to thank God even during the hard times of life. Naturally, we are more inclined to be thankful. We reflect on what we perceive to be the good things of life. But let's never forget that we have a God who is still in control. And he's good, and he's kind, and he's gracious, and he's loving. We have every reason, friends, to get to the end of this year and to praise God. To praise him for his love and for his kindness to us personally. To praise him for his goodness to us as a church. City North is his church. Christ is the head of this church. We are his body. And he wants to show his love through this church to those around about us. This church has been in existence for 92 years now. And God has been very gracious to this church. We've seen him do that again over the course of this year. And we look forward to how he's going to work in the year ahead. Let's say with the psalmist, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Amen.